Well, I know it's a busy stage here, but we are still in the midst of our Survivor series. And I know some of you, again, big Survivor fans. And so I'm going to bring out our torch for the day. We've dealt with, we extinguished. By the way, you notice that torch that says worry is not burning any longer because we extinguished it last week. Today we're going to deal with another challenge that is common in the midst of our lives. And this is the stress that so many of us feel because we are over busy. And I'm not just going to say busy because we're running so fast, but sometimes we're busy because our mind is running so fast. And there is just something that becomes detrimental to our soul health. And I think it's intentional that the enemy attacks us in just this way. He knows how it is, what we are susceptible to. And he surrounds us in a world that is constantly noisy and constantly demanding. And in the midst of that, our response, more often than not, is simply to try to run faster, to jump further, to reach higher. And all the time, God is inviting us to something else. There is a different plan that is there for us, and we tend to simply overlook it. And so today we'll be talking about busyness and about somehow how we can survive it. But before we jump into the message today, in your bulletins, I hope you got one. You should have a little piece of paper like this. You're probably wondering, what in the world is this piece of paper? Is it confetti? Yeah, it is. But no, it's not. It's more than that. We're going to take a little self-evaluation. So if you've got a pen or pencil, we're going to have you take this out. I've got 5 questions. We're going to do a little self-check. And so is it going to be easy? Your answer is either yes or no. If you need help with spelling, we're not going to be grading you on that. So, okay. So here we go. What do we got here? This is our stressed much quiz. So let me go to the first question. And again, your response is going to be either yes or no to this question. The question is, do you always feel like you're in a hurry? Yes or no? If you're not sure, you're thinking way too hard, okay? You're thinking way too hard. Okay, second question is this. At the end of the day, is your to-do list likely not completed? Or if you don't do lists, do you feel frustrated you didn't accomplish as much during the day that you thought you should? Okay, again, yes or no. Question number 3. Is there a maybe? You're thinking this way too hard again. Okay. You're overthinking sometimes. Okay, you can go sometimes. Sometimes is fine. Okay. Number 3, do you feel guilty when you relax? Me neither, Mike. Yeah, not since retirement. Yes, good, Scott. Good for you. Okay. Okay, yes or no? Yes or no? Number 4, do you struggle with busy thoughts when you ought to be sleeping? Okay, yeah, just yes. Just put yes, okay? Just, okay. And number 5, do you feel overwhelmed by problems around you? Okay, those are the 5 questions, and so what we're going to do simply is take a look and see. Take a look at your card, and don't tell me, but I want you to look at the person next to you and then maybe the other side of you and say, hey, this is how many yeses I have. How many yeses do you have? Take a minute, find out how you're doing, yeses, check it out. Okay, real quick, bring it back. Here we go. I need to know how accomplished my class is here. This is self-graded. Okay, self-graded. Did we get any exemplary students who got 5 yeses? Oh, wow. Fantastic. We're going to be praying for you guys especially today. Okay. You're around her, so it kind of rubs off. Okay. You know, I think this is a good question for us to ask. And people, again, this just like it is when we talked about worry last week, that we're not all of us are wired the same. Some of us are wired to be more busy. Some of us are wired to be able to handle a little bit more of that. But there's going to be extremes for all of us, and that's what we're always pulled to. We're always pulled beyond what our capacity ought to be. Because again, I think it is the issue for us is that we are living in a world that demands more of us than we have. And we have an adversary. In fact, I'll go to this bit right now. Richard Foster said this probably 30, 40 years ago in his book, Celebration of Discipline. He said our adversary, the devil, he majors in three things: in noise, in hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged with the muchness or the manyness, he will rest satisfied. Because he knows that if we are engaged in the muchness and the manyness, we will not be able to take that time to be still and know that he is God. He will know that we will not be able to be still and get our marching orders for the day, because we will be driven by the things that we have left undone. Now, busyness is detrimental to our soul health. You know, the crowds that he speaks about, Richard Foster, the crowds are the same, aren't they? But maybe they've become even more intense in the last generation. Some of you aren't old enough to know that, but some of us have been around a while and we're saying, you know, the crowds seem to be bigger. Lines seem to be longer. Traffic seems to be more intense. There are just more opportunities for me to be frustrated by those around me. Hurry, you could say that hurry is the same, but is it? Is there not more demands on your time? How many of you have got things to do and you wind up waiting on hold because you've got to be talking to some service representative and they don't get to you to help you out for the next hour and a half? There is something that goes on, and it just seems to be what should be making our life simpler is making our life more difficult. And finally, that last one, the noise, the first one. You know, the noise is not talking about just the neighbors who play their music too loud or the yard guy next door who's blowing his leaf blower at 8 o'clock in the morning. 6:30. Okay. I'm not even talking about that. That's a good time to blow your mower. I'm glad you live in the country, Mike. It's not just the noise that's increased, whether it be leaf blowers or illegal fireworks. Okay, you know, we all have our pet peeves. But with the advent of the internet, and again, this was written pre-internet, if you can imagine a world pre-internet, this was written pre-social media, this was written pre-smartphone. We live in a loud world, even if its volume's not high, it's loud. We are always taken, we are always called, we are always distracted, we are always disjointed. And all these things, their design is to compete for our attention and to keep our mind from being able to rest. Researchers say that we spend, and check it, you may say, oh, that's not me. Good if it's not, or maybe it is. Researchers say that the average American spends 3 hours a day on the various apps on their phone. 3 hours a day. Before the cell phone, did you know you had an extra 3 hours to spend on apps? I thought we only had 24, but now I find out we have extra three. This is great. But not just that. The average American, I find this hard to believe, but maybe it's true, can spend up to 10 hours a day looking at media on their phone. Now, to me, that sounds impossible until I look around me and I see everyone I see is looking at their phone, walking down the street, looking at their phone, sitting in the doctor's office, looking at their phone, walking down the aisle at the store, looking at their phone, driving down the street, looking at, oh gosh, I just, you know, honk, hey, eyes on the road. It's just so hard because that's all we'll do. We're always constantly drawn to the phone. Like the news is going to change from 1 minute ago. And we're constantly being called, hey, look at me again. We get these notifications. That's got to be the worst invention in human history. The notification. Stocks went down. Ooh, glad I knew that. Ooh, there's a rumor of trade in the NBA. Ooh, good I knew that. Well, yeah, I'm going to check it out, though. Okay. Yeah, it's just, you know, oh, the president had a gaffe today in his press conference. Yeah, big deal. He does that every day. Why do I need to be reminded? Gosh. But we have this thing, and it just always calls to us, and we're always, then we got to give it our full attention. And it just breaks up everything, breaks up our flow. It steals of our time. It steals of our peace. It is detrimental to our soul health. There's always something that's going on, and we have to ask ourselves, when was the last time I really rested? And I don't mean got a chance to sleep in or got away for a weekend vacation. but really had a time to rest, to allow our both physical body as well as our mental capacity to begin to slow down enough to begin to recharge. We don't allow for that rhythm of recharging anymore. And that's part of the busyness of the world around us and why it is so detrimental to us. You know, a generation ago, it's been 25 plus years ago now, they started doing research as all this technology was beginning to just open up. And in 1994, some of you remember this day, they did a Gallup poll, and 3/4 of Americans believed that in their generation that we would be all working less due to the influx of high technology. Anyone feel less busy than they did 20 years ago? No. And it's not. For every one step of time saved by our technology, it seems like we have taken 2 steps back in the busyness. Maybe not working so much, but that mind work is always constantly going. And so there is this motion, and it's not moving forward. It's not moving towards health. It is taking us further and further away. And I'm not going to put my phone away. I'm not going to turn off the internet. I have become addicted to all of those, as we all have. But we need to find ways that we can begin to break in and find some rest. This is what Jesus was talking about. He didn't have a cell phone, so he didn't have to deal with this, but he understood busyness. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary." Now, I had a handful of hands go up when I said, how many of you got 5 yes answers? But I'll do one more non-scientific poll. How many feel spiritually weary today? Is it just the 4 or 5 who raised their hand earlier? No. There's a weariness that just kind of floats in on us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, there is something profound about that offer. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, the fact that he comes back and underlines that, rest for your souls, tells me that this is a big deal to Jesus, that he thinks there's something that is going to be so important for you and for me to be able to discover something that as we place on his yoke and we walk in his ways and as we learn from him, the path that he is going to take us on is not more chaos, but is rest for our souls. That is the destination that his yoke and learning from him leads us to. And as believers in Jesus, that should be our birthright, should it not? And yet we feel still weary. We live in the midst of a broken world, and that broken world is constantly challenging us, calling us, pulling us, and doing everything it can to make us feel that we have to somehow keep up, we have to somehow attain, we have to somehow achieve, we have to somehow appear to be competent to those around us. So we work harder, fight harder, stress more, out of fear of being found somehow lacking. We come to believe, we come to accept that the world says that we are only going to come up and be graded as passing if we do what the world says we should do. Now, Jesus invites us to this thing called rest. Not that we get less done, but that we find in the midst of our life rest. Jesus doesn't invite us to constant rest. We would see the Bible is just filled with all these invitations to find rest, whether it be in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, or in the New Testament, in the words of Jesus, whether it be in the writings of Paul, or even in the very fabric of the Old Testament, the creation narrative itself. It talks about God creating the world in 6 days, and what does he do on the 7th? He rests. And that pattern is then set right there at the very foundation of the Old Testament of the Bible that Jesus now builds upon for us. It's this pattern, not of constant rest. Jesus isn't saying, don't do anything, just sit like a slug and rest. No. But he's saying, in the midst of the busyness of life, can you find rest? Is there a time for rest? Do you make time for rest? Do you take time to be still so you can know that I am God? Because all the things that often tend to grab our attention are these things that make us panic, that makes us, that just scares us into somehow pushing further, going harder, thinking that by doing more, we will finally attain that peace. But it's not by doing more. Jesus invites us to rest, to be human beings, not human doings, right? And yet we get caught on the treadmill that says, I must do. Here again, we see this is baked into this imagery of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does he do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. What is the psalmist painting here? If we're looking at this picture that he's creating for us, what is it that he is creating for us? A security in the care of the shepherd, but the shepherd who has a purpose, direction, and plan for us, and that is to go and to lie down in green pastures, to be guided beside still or quiet waters, because there our soul can be refreshed. And again, you don't have to stay by the green, in the green pasture. You don't have to stay lying down there. You don't have to stay only beside that still water, but that's where the shepherd is going to bring you, in this rhythm of doing, but then also finding peace at rest that refreshes our soul. And I like it that he says, he makes me lie down. Part of our modern world, part of our grown-up independence, we don't like that, do we? We don't like being made to do anything. How many of you liked when we had mandates to do stuff? Heck no. We want to just, you know, raise up our hand and wave at the government, right? One side or the other. But we do. We don't like that. But it says that this shepherd is going to make us lie down. Now, I know if some of you are parents, you've had kids or you've got kids now. If you've got toddlers, sometimes those kids need to rest. And you know what? Ain't nothing like a toddler who needs to rest, who doesn't want to rest. Now, parent, every parent gets to have this choice. What are you going to do? You going to let them win that fight? You better not. You better not. You think this meltdown's bad? The one coming is worse. And so you make them lie down, don't you? They don't understand, but they need to lie down. Or at least you put them in the crib and shut the door. You know, you just do the best you can. But they need that, even though they don't realize it. And what the psalmist is telling us is that's exactly how God sees us, that sometimes that we may not realize it, that we've been caught up in this. You know, whether it be just the busyness of our world or the busyness of my brain or whatever it is, but we need to find ways to carve out this place of rest. And this is the invitation, to come to him and find his rest. Okay. No more questions on the paper, but I'm going to ask you some more. If your phone was a drug, would you be an addict? If news were food, would you be a glutton? If someone were to observe your life, would they see that your value is settled, or would they see that it is constantly moving out of fear of coming up short? You see, that's part of where this all comes out of, this need to somehow overcome by doing more and more that drives us further and further from the peace and the quiet and the stillness that God desires that we come to know and be able to touch and be touched by. Fear that we're not rich enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not thin enough, we're not accomplished enough. All those things that go through our mind that say our value is rooted in something that we can't attain. But our value is rooted in the Good Shepherd. And again, that's what it comes back to. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. So this week, I know there's some here who are struggling with it, but I want to just say this torch is burning, and it's burning brightly because we are all caught in the busyness of the world or the busyness of our mind, and we're all getting wrung out by it. And what do we do? You know, there's the last quote I want to put up here. This is a fellow by the name of Paul Bain. He's a pastor in Oklahoma. And he said this, "When the world is falling apart around you, understand that you have no power to hold it together." I'm going to say that again because that's worth repeating. When the world is falling apart around you, understand that you have no power to hold it together. The only power you have is letting it go and releasing the chaos of your life into the loving hands of Christ to carry you through it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I think all of us need to put this torch out and say, busyness will not be my king any longer. I'm going to learn from the shepherd and walk in his ways that lead me to peace. Break into the noise of my world and find places of quiet where I can listen for him. Rest in him. Be renewed by him. As we did last week, we have a snuffer in it. And if anyone would like to come and say, busyness is not going to rule me this week, I'm going to trust in the shepherd's care. If today is your day to say, I would like to come and be the one representing the rest of the church, I would invite you to come and place this out. Would anyone like to come and help us all by putting this raging flame out? Please come. Colleen, it's so glad you're here today. You know how it goes. The tribe has spoken, right? That's right. And so we're not going to let busyness rule any longer. So if you would go and place and extinguish that flame, we would appreciate it. No more. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thank you, Colleen. All right, let's do this. Let's pray, and I want to invite my team to come forward. Father, it is to you that we look. You are our shepherd. You are the one who sees fully who we are, who speaks completely of how precious and valuable we are in your sight. God, help us to find not only our strength in you, but also our peace and your rest. Help us to place your yoke upon us and to learn from you as we seek to quiet our souls and find that rest that only you can give. Thank you for Colleen. Thank you for all the others who were ready to come along with her. God, be our help as we move into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.